salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, well, I'm eligible for Medicare now. Whatever the heck that means. I was just talking to the guys here before we went on the queue. I hit the big 6-5 yesterday. Talking to the guys yesterday, and it just kind of shows where our minds, we're really where, what the sheeple we are. I'm not blaming guys in the queue, but why do I have to sign up for Medicare? Why at age 65 do I have to sign up for Medicare? I keep getting these phone calls and these letters, got to sign up, you got to sign up. And I'm talking to some of the older boys here, and they say, yeah, you got to sign up. Why? I can't refuse a service. What is that all about? What is that? Well, I'm so happy to be alive at age 65. I had a great weekend. You know what was really good? I disciplined myself. I didn't eat a bunch of junk. I didn't overeat. I didn't gorge. Feel pretty good as we bounce back here on the 27th of September, 2017. Appreciate you all joining us. Wearing my birthday present. My daughter got this for me. My wife said it's pretty appropriate all to wear it. It says battle ready, armed and ready for spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:10-11. I'm going to talk about that because I am armed and I am ready. And the truth of it is most of us aren't. We may be armed, but we're not ready. I had an opportunity yesterday had the chance to go to church. Michelle and I were home on a Sunday one time. So we went up, Pastor Bill Dunphy and the folks up at New Beginnings, which is where we consider to be our home church. We went up there and had Pastor Bill, great service, great word. I honor Pastor Bill because he kicks them in the teeth. He does. And I appreciate somebody that will do that. And I stand with Pastor Bill as my pastor because he goes to the streets. He goes out and does it. And so it's a mutual admiration society. I spoke to him yesterday again about getting the ordination process going. So those of you who've told us that you want to be ordained, that is going, we're popping the clutch on that, going forward with it. And some of you didn't hear that. If you're interested in being ordained, let's say that you serve the Lord and you are a servant of the Lord, but you don't have any ordination papers. And so when you go to talk to people in the world and they say, well, who died made you boss, or how come you know so much more? And you can say, well, I'm an ordained minister. We'll have a process that everybody will be able to go through. It'll open up doors, maybe help be a police chaplain if you want to, maybe help you be able to go in and visit the prisons, a lot of different things. Once you get the paper, see, the ordination, the call on your life in the ministry comes from God. It comes from God. It does not come from some denomination. It does not come from some seminary. The Bible tells us that the blessings and calling of God are irrevocable. What does it mean to be irrevocable? Well, irrevocable means he's the gifting and callings of God he's put on your life, and he ain't taking them back. They are not irrevocable. If he's put a call on your life, that call on your life continues. And some of you, I think, have been kind of burdened down or bogged down because you didn't have the papers. You didn't have the paper. Show me your papers. You didn't have the papers to show that you were, in fact, called by some denomination to be a minister of God. So we want to help some of you out there that are looking to be ordained. The giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. We want to put the stamp of approval on it. We're setting up a system whereby you have to do some study, read some books, do some jump through different type of hoops that we think are important, and then Pastor Salt Ministry is willing to give you an ordination. Ordain you as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's good, isn't it? So if you're interested in doing that, email us at coach@coachdavelive.com, and we will get you involved and get moving forward on that. Look forward to it. Got several of you, two dozen actually, who've signed up since we broke that open. Was the last weekend we did that? Two dozen have. So more coming, and we're honored to be able to do that. Hey, Sarge, give us an update real quick on the event that we can finally talk about now on April 20, 21, and 22 in Akron, Ohio, the conference. Can you do that for me real quick, Sarge?
Your update is we got the website page online. It's just simply coachdavelive.com/occupy2018-2018. And there's a registration page between now and February 20th. Early bird pricing, it's only $89. It'll go up another 10 bucks after the 21st of February. Headliners, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Paul Begley, the Hagmans, John Robertson. We've got a few other folks, Mark Trump, talking cyber warfare with us. Hopefully land a couple of other surprises, guest speakers between now and the next couple of weeks. And stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be closest airport, Akron, Canton, Ohio. And it's a place where you can fly into if you're not close enough to drive. And the hotel's only about 5 miles from the airport. And
it's a good airport. It's not a cheap airport. It's good. Akron, Canton's a very, very, very good airport. Remember, Akron's the home of Goodyear Tire, right? So it's a great metropolitan city. Canton's the home of the Football Hall of Fame. So these are about 30 miles south of Cleveland. And Cleveland has an airport, but Akron, Canton has one as well. You can fly in there. Flights are pretty reasonable. It's not flying like up to Bangor, Maine or someplace where it's hard to, you know, limit the number of flights. There are a lot of flights coming in and out of there. Sarge, I want to say something. People always ask, well, why do you charge? Well, our expenses are huge. First of all, we pay everybody that comes in honorarium. We pay their expenses. We pay 3 nights in a hotel. Start right there. We have to rent a hotel. We're providing some food. We're providing a lot of different things. So, you know, 89 bucks. Yeah, I suppose that's a lot of money, but if we went out to eat the other night, I wouldn't get into that. Money, it takes money, man. It takes money. So we think the workman's worthy of their wages. The guys are coming. They're given the entire weekend to be there. And yeah, they'll sell their wares and do some of that stuff. But, we'd like to be, we don't have a church. We can't do it for free. So we'd love to be able to do that. So that's April 20, 21, 22, right, Sarge? That's a great lineup of folks we've got coming.
Yep.
And one of the things we want to do, we call it Occupy Till I Return, because we believe we ought to be occupied, not just studying the stars, not just, you know, prophetically figuring out where we are, but be actively involved in doing something about it. And that's why the group that we're having, we believe we're going to be active. Russ Dizdar is active in what he does. Paul Begley's active. LA's active in what he does. We're working on some others. You know, the Hagman and Hagmans and John Robb, they're all active. But we want you to be able to leave there with some tools, excuse me, of how you can be more effective in occupying until he returns. Portia will be there. I know it's right up in her neighborhood and a lot of others. Anything else there, Sarge?
Just a quick thing. As a good example, if any of you have been following some of the Pizzagate pedophilia videos online, you may have heard more than once that Sadusky out of Pennsylvania was involved with a bigger group than just himself. And the reason you need to come to these events like this, especially with Russ is right in the middle of all that. He knows who that circle of people that are around guys like Sadusky, and that's where he has infiltrated, and he is saving people. He is bringing people, protecting them. There are things happening in that Ohio, Pennsylvania area, and that's why we're going to Ohio, because this is the heart of America, and there is some territorial requirements for us to occupy ground in that
Amen.
World.
That's right, Sarge. We're expecting 350. The hotel event will hold 350 people. You say that's a lot. Well, it is a lot, but it will go out. It will sell out fast. I'm sure, I'm telling you. So go ahead and get get in line for that one. And we're excited about that. And man, the new year's right upon us, isn't it? It's unbelievable. I want Pastor Bill. I'm going to steal a little something from Pastor Bill Dunphy yesterday that he shared with us in church. And I would while we're getting ready, Jared, go to Micah 6. You don't have to pull it up there yet. Joe, get your pipes ready because I'm going to show you something. But I just gave Jared one assignment, and I want to give him another one. Make sure I give it. Yeah. I'm going to show you. Folks, America's on the verge of craziness. You said, hey, Coach, what are we going to do about the Holy Spirit? I'm coming to that here today, okay? Because I got a couple comments. Praise the Lord. People wanting to know. I thought you were going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, we are. Hopefully get to it today and tomorrow, okay? so bear with me. Americans are sick. Americans who are not born again and spirit-filled are sick. We're on the verge. We've lost our stinking mind. But we've lost our stinking mind because we don't have the mind of Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to show you two really quick videos to show you the what I think to be the mental condition that most people, I use that word on purpose, most people around us are on the verge of what we're about to watch. Most people are. You know, the Holy Spirit's the restraining factor in my life. That's why I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because there was a time when I was born again. And then there was a time when I was filled with the Spirit. And the scripture tells us that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost parts of the earth. We know that when we read last week, we talked about witness. Witness is what? Someone who, a martyr. Someone who is willing, literally, to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ. You're going to die. You're going to die somehow, somewhere, some way. Might be in a nursing home, might be by a heart attack, might be some disease. We're all going to die. And so to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that was within you. And sometimes that reason for that hope that is within you ain't going to be a good situation for you. It isn't going to be. And to be a martyr for Christ means that you're actually laying down your life. I want you to watch this 5-minute video, and you tell me we're not on the verge of craziness. Jared, I didn't tell you which one. I think it just says Black Friday. This is just a little 5-minute compilation of Black Friday. Folks, I want you to stop in your mind. I want you to think about this. Think what would happen as you watch this video. Think what will happen in your neighborhood when the food supply stops, electric goes out, a prolonged period without any food, supplies, banks. We all know this is possible, right? Let's say it only happens for what? How long? 2 days? 3 days? 5 days? How long will it be before people lose their stinking mind? Well, we're going to find out. Black Friday. Black Friday. Watch the way people behave over a bargain, getting a good price on some stuff. Think how they'll behave. Man, we ain't got any food. The baby doesn't have any food. Go ahead and play this, Jerry. It's just 5 minutes. Somebody made a compilation of this. Go ahead and play it, Jerry. Look at that lady rip that out of that baby's hand. Let's show it again. Baby's got in her hands. Imagine it's a bottle of water, package of potato chips if your baby's hungry. These are over bargains, non-essentials. Stuff.
Walmart Black Friday for you, son.
Don't put, hey, no. Stay away from him.
Jared, you can stop that. Folks, this is prophetic for us. I'm just telling you, these people are rushing in, acting like this in order to buy stuff. You understand? Buy stuff. What happens when the ATM goes down, even for a day? I know the people that go to the ATM a couple times a day to get their money. What if that goes down? We're looking at I believe to be the impact of the demonic on the lives of people that would make them act like this. I got to show one more real quick clip. Jared, see if you can pull it up there. It's on my Facebook page. It says Mark Harrington. Anybody want to comment about what you just saw there? Get that Facebook page up there, Jared. Anybody?
That's what a third world country looks like. That's just ridiculous.
I've got a question for Roger if he's here.
He's there.
Yeah, if someone sets something into motion knowing that it's going to end up in somebody's bodily harm or something, that is a crime, isn't it? I mean, you can actually get charged with murder for starting a scenario like that. How come these store owners and management of these chains get by with this nonsense?
Just give us time.
Because it's a globalist entertainment. That's what it is. It's entertainment for globalists.
I think they need to rename it from Black Friday to Black and Blue Friday.
it's the unregenerated heart trying to fill the empty space. That's what it is, folks. We see it. And people are on the verge of being animals. Now, I want to show you something else. Here's another thing that, remember, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And to know that unrepented, unconfessed sin bores deep holes inside your soul. And the best thing that you can do is come to Jesus where there's true, true liberty and forgiveness, repentance. My buddy Mark Harrington posted this video today, Created Equal. Mark takes the gory pictures of abortion out into the community, out in front of high schools. And Roger, this is at Pickerington High School. And Pickerington High School is, that's the area really where Roger lives, very close where Roger lives. This is, folks, upper middle class America, all right? And I want you to think the impact of 60 million abortions, women who have never confessed it to anybody, who've never received forgiveness for it, that carry this deep guilt inside all of them. I just want you to watch this. This is a 3-minute video. See, listen, don't miss this. The video just watched and the video here go together. These two go together. This is the scene. This is the anger. This is the heart of unforgiven, unrepentant sin when it has time to fester. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Take a brochure.
They're handing out a literature to on the streets to high school kids about abortion.
I know we've already gotten a bunch of phone calls of people saying that they're upset by it.
Right.
Okay. Well that's, you know, what's
America.
Quite offensive is not doesn't make it illegal. So.
No, in fact that gives it more protection as long as it's not obscene.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, you're exercising your First Amendment rights. I wholly totally agree with that.
You're not.
You know, it's not a problem. You know?
Okay.
I serve the military in order to make sure that that's the case.
No, I appreciate that.
And the fact that I have to look at this, you don't share my views.
That's fine.
This is, to do this outside of a high school is freaking ridiculous.
Why is that?
Because you have no fucking idea. Are you going to adopt my baby that I can't take care of? Fuck you.
Ma'am?
Fuck you.
You really don't have to react that way, ma'am. We can have a civil disagreement without you getting violent.
You know what? I know how I feel.
You can talk to him about that.
Are you going
to
adopt the baby? Are you going to adopt your
I'd like to press charges, officer.
She is really sorry. Not for me, but she was wondering if she could just get an apology to you and help set your signs up or do whatever.
If you're sorry and truly remorseful, I'm more than happy to forgive you because I am a Christian. I do believe in that.
I am so sorry.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. We'll drop things. Yes, sir.
Really sorry there, huh? There are individuals in our culture hurting over abortion. Folks, there is so much pent-up rage in America we better be prepared. Church isn't prepared. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, I was just saying, oh, the butthurt. I mean, can you imagine? So you're going about your day, just living out your life, and someone comes and does that to you and expects to get away with it. And it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing as to how devoid of consequences these people's lives must be.
Right. I tell you, funny. Micah 6, did I say that earlier? This Pastor Bill shared this with us yesterday, and then I want to go a little bit farther than what Pastor Bill did. And let me paint the scene here for you, because we're hearing from Micah here that the Lord's ticked off. And the Lord's ticked off, as you're going to see here, and he's not ticked off at the sinners. Not the sinners he's mad at. The Lord's ticked off at his own people. Are you ready for this? Are you ready, Joe? We're gonna read through this, Joe. I want you to read through verse 8, and then I'm going to show you something else. This is what Pastor Bill Dunphy shared with us yesterday, and then I want to take it a bit farther. Go ahead, Joe. Go start reading that.
Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice.
Contend. Isn't it amazing, Joe, that to contend, he says, raise your voice? That's one of the ways that you contend is you speak up. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, let the hills hear thy voice. Speak what you see. Speak the truth. Go ahead.
Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel.
Hey, Joe, who's his controversy with?
Israel.
His people, Israel. His controversy is with his people, not the sinners. He's not having trouble with the sinners. His controversy is with the people, his people. Go ahead.
O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam.
I've given you warning.
O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord.
That you may know the righteousness of the Lord. He says, listen, I've given you all these warnings. You guys know the stories. Hey, Roger, there's a problem. We don't know the stories. See? We don't know that we have forgotten the stories. And so he says, listen, I gave you all these warnings. It came out from all these guys that you might know my righteousness. He's talking about his righteousness, not the love of the Lord, not the mercy of the Lord, not the grace of the Lord, but that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Keep going, Joe.
Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God?
Joe, let's do that again. And let's take wherewith out of there and let's place the word how.
How shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the first or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
In other words, he's saying, listen, he's trying to paint a picture here. Basically saying this, is there anything that you can bring to the Lord that's going to undo his anger and his wrath and his righteousness? Anything? You going to bring anything? In fact, he even says your firstborn. Is that going to be good enough to, as an offering, as a sacrifice before the Lord? Keep going, Joe.
He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee.
Here it is.
But to do justice.
Here's what the Lord requires of us. The followers of Jesus, the followers of God, here is from the mouth of Micah the requirements. What are they, Joe?
He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Okay, let's stop right there. The first thing that the Lord requires of his people is to walk justly. No, I'm sorry, do justly. Do justly. To do justly. Now, church, what does that look like to the church? What would it look like to the church to do justly? What would that mean? Jared's pulling it up there, justice. We know a number of times we saw that the Lord says that there was no justice and displeased him that there was no justice. That's later on in Isaiah. Justice is the main, the quality of being just, impartial, or fair. At the first, Jared, look at the first one. The maintenance of administration, what is just, especially by the impartial judgment of conflicting sources with the assignment of merit or rewards or punishment, meeting out justice. He wants there to be rewards and punishments. That's the only way justice can be administered. Rewards and punishments. That is justice. The quality of being just, Whoa, Jared is a good pop-up. The quality of being just, impartial, or fair questioned the justice of their decision. The principal ideal of just dealing or right, of just dealing or right action. Conformity to this principle or ideal. The quality of conforming to the law. Conformity to truth, fact, or reason. Correctness. And he says the greatest example that you can have that you are serving me is that you do justly. Do justly. So Pastor Bell was reading that yesterday, and I was sitting there thinking, man, oh, man, oh, man. Because, by the way, who's this controversy with? Somebody help me. There's one of the students out there. Who's the Lord's controversy with?
With Israel.
His people. Us. His controversy is with us. Let's put it in New Testament terms. His controversy is with us. Why? Because the number one.
Because we're not justly.
The church is not doing justly. Okay? We're watching babies being. We know. We say abortion is wrong. And what do? We vote against it. We vote for conservatives. We might speak about it on Abortion Sunday, but we don't do anything about it. We don't do justly. There is no justice for the preborn. Does that matter to the Lord? Are we to believe that it doesn't matter to him? He said, you come in here and you keep doing your church services, your praise and worship, and your dancing and your offerings. You're doing all these offerings. He said, can somebody tell me why I should even accept any of that? That's what the Lord says through Micah to the church. Well, all this stuff. Said, you mean, could you even give me your firstborn? Would your firstborn be enough for all this mess that's going on? He says. Now there's like 20 million traffickers, kids that are being trafficked in the world, 20 million. This pedophilia that's going on in Washington, D.C., so they say isn't. In California and in L.A. and Hollywood and all this stuff going on. Is there any justice? Is anybody dealing out any justice at all? Is the church crying out for justice, or is the church crying out for blessings and mercy? And we are calling out all the times for mercy. Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And the word says there is no mercy without justice. There's no mercy without justice. And it comes back to what Matt told us. We're putting the second commandment above the first commandment. The second commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And we love our neighbor more than we love the statutes of the Lord. And the Lord says, if you love me, you will do justly. And we don't.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
Dave, been thinking about this here for quite a while, and I got to get something written. But anyway, you know, we talk about doing justly. Could it be that this vote coming up December 12th in Alabama is a real test for Christians to do justly? Now, here we got a choice. The people in Alabama are going to have a choice between choosing against a baby killer, a murdering Democrat, or Roy Moore, who, yeah, might not be perfect or have been perfect in the past, but he is doing God's work today and has been for a long time. So Christians, God's people, like back in Israel, they have a choice of picking up God's gauntlet and running with it, his banner, and saying, we're going to support life, or they're going to turn the other way. And that is going to be right back in what's happening. We were blessed when we got Donald Trump elected, and it was only because of five simple words. Five simple words: I am not okay with that. And it was in reference to abortion.
Amen. And isn't it amazing? Is it amazing to anybody but me that the same people the Lord is talking about doing justice are turning a blind eye to the abortion issue while they condemn Judge Moore for something he might have done 40 years ago? It's the same. Mercy.
Yes.
And walk humbly with thy God. We're missing all those. Can I continue? Well, Jared went to Matthew 6. Did you want to show something? Jared, that's okay, man. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Roger?
You've got to stop teaching the entire Bible.
Yeah, get me in trouble. To get me in trouble with the Jesus loves everybody crowd.
Well, actually, we need to start teaching Bible stories. That's what we need to start doing.
Stop teaching the entire Bible. You just got to stop, brother.
Got to stop. Well, let me, while I'm on it, let me go a little bit deeper into Micah 6. Okay, man, it's 7:36. Are you kidding me? Hang with me. Okay, so now we know what the Lord wants us to do more than anything. He doesn't want us to love him. He doesn't want us to serve him. He doesn't want us to feed the meat. Well, maybe he does that. But he wants us to walk justly, to do justly, to protect those innocent babies, to bring to justice this criminal cabal running our country. He wants us to do justly because they are robbing people. They're robbing people of the money, of their labors. They're robbing them of their dignity. They're charging people with things that aren't even crimes and putting them in jail. And the Lord said, how long are you folks going to allow this to continue to go on? How long are you going to continue to come into our churches and do praise and worship and dances and Christmas programs and all this other stuff? How long are you going to do that? I just want you to do one thing for me. Just do justly, will you? Will you just do justly? You think I'm making it up? Let's keep going here. Verse 9.
The Lord's voice, Joe. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it?
So get ready, boys. There's a rod coming, and you don't know. You think it's coming from the enemy. No. This is coming from me.
Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure that is abominable?
Read that again, Joe.
Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked?
And the Senate?
And the scant measure that is abominable?
Go on, Joe.
Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights?
Wow.
For the rich men thereof are full of violence. And the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee,
wow, and make
thee desolate because of thy sins.
Hang on a minute, boys. Don't you dare miss this. Hang on, Joe. The Lord grabs the rod, and he ain't after the senators, and he ain't after the congressmen. That ain't who he's after. No. For the rich men lie, they're full of violence, and their inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, their tongues deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make you sick in smiting you and making you desolate because of your sins. Keep going, Joe.
Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied.
Black Friday.
And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver.
Boy, stop. Is that that video we just saw? You shall take hold, but shall not deliver. Somebody else is going to pull it right out of your hands.
And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword.
I will. He will.
Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine.
Mm.
For the statutes of Omri are kept.
Oh, Omri was a demon, an ungodly king. What does it say? For the statutes of Omri are kept. We're following the devil. We're following deadly, devilish ideas and precepts. We're following them. He said, you're going to keep those. You're going to keep the doctrines of demons. Go ahead, Joe.
For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels.
Yeah, you do. You walk in the government's counsel.
That I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof, and hissing. Therefore, ye shall bear the reproach of my people.
Hey, Joe, let's read that one more time, folks. Put devil or doctrines of demons where it says armory. Read that again, Joe.
For the doctrines of devils are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels.
You walk in there, you let them lead you.
That
his people.
That I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof, and hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people.
Oh, my goodness. And a whole lot of mercy gone there, grace. Not a whole lot of it being applied there, is it? Why? Because we're walking in the statutes of the doctrines of demons. Why? Because the Lord requires justice. Number one. Guys, get this in your spirit. What is it, Joe? Go back to six. Go back to six, Joe. Eight. Jared, back to eight. Read it, Joe.
He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee?
There it is, brother. This is what the Lord requires of you. Do justly.
And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God.
Oh, my goodness. See, guys, listen. When you deal justly, you bring mercy to the victim. When you do justly, you bring mercy to the victim. And as Matt says, we want to get the second commandment above the first. We want to love people more than we love the Lord. And he says, if you're going to love me, you're going to do justly. You're going to stop this lying, cheating, conniving, thievery that's going around you. So what? So that you can love mercy. So that you can rescue people, those who are unjustly led to slaughter. My, oh my. Doors are open. Jump in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I monitor various things, and I'm kind of different when it comes to things like nature and, you know, because I love nature the way God created things. And I saw this article that talked about there's only like 47 wolves left and we should do this and do that. And I said, that's a bunch of BS. And I got this answer back. It says, why is it BS? And I answered, I said, in our land, in this time, it is BS compared to what's actually going on. We destroy 2,000 to 3,000 kids per day in their mother's wombs. This nation's sin will be answered soon as our Lord's patience will expire. Our nation will survive, but we will be as that eagle in Daniel with plucked wings, barely alive. Repent, sir, repent. Then pray for your soul and ask for forgiveness from the one who made it all to begin with, Jesus Christ. Get real. He sends me this back. Rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off. And he sent me a poster that says, will you still be pro-life after she's born? Will you apply the same vigor to your work against war, against hunger, against poverty, against homelessness, against our planet's degradation, against capital punishment, for human rights, for opportunities for education and jobs, that you do to your efforts to make abortion illegal? If not, please stop calling yourself pro-life. I mean, and you know, I'm going.
So he equates education with murder, see?
Yeah.
Right?
And
murder.
And then he sent another one and said, I bet you wouldn't like another baby living off welfare and leeching off taxpayer money, would you? You're not pro-life. You're just pro-birth. You don't care what happens to the kids as long as your taxpayer money doesn't go to them. And I'm going, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I wrote back. I said, too bad. I tried, Lord. Maybe this will help. And I gave him a link to a video called The Biggest Lie in America. And I haven't heard anything back from them since. So, but, you know, I mean, that's what I do online. You know, if I see something like that, I'm in their face. I ain't going to mess around.
Okay. So Joe, God bless you. Church, what's with us, church? What's with us? When we read this kind of stuff right here, as Roger said, Old Testament stuff, the full Bible, are we to believe that the Lord is not true to this word today? And that the greatest judgment, see, well, we're sitting about and we're crying mercy, mercy, and rapture, and we're going to be not appointed unto all this wrath. As we read here in Micah, it's the wrath aimed at us. It's the wrath aimed at his people. Ignorance of the law, it appears, is an excuse. The unregenerate are unregenerated because of us, because we haven't loved mercy. That we don't realize the depth of destruction that the American taxpayer has been heaped upon the American taxpayer because of ungodly, unjust legislation in the halls of Congress. That's unjust and ungodly. To see the two sets of justice that go on between those in elected positions and the rest of us. To see how one group steals and the other one is stolen from. And to understand that there are women forced into working because of what? Their substance is being stolen. We read that in the beginning of Micah 6. And the Lord said, this stuff's going to continue to go on till you do justly. And it goes back to what we talked about on Friday in regards to the separation between the church and state, state's rights and state's authority, and states have the right to set up a religious system. And only a return to that kind of stuff, according to what we just read here, only a return to that. It's going to be our stuff that's going to be, it's going to be our stuff that's going to be destroyed. Ours.
Hey, Coach.
Do you have any?
It's our representatives. They've been suborned by sex and or money. That's one of the problems. We have to get that stuff out of there.
Yes, Vince, but we've been suborned by lust and poverty. We have as well. The people have. It's accepted in the church.
Hey, can I jump in here for a second?
Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, let's talk about homelessness. All right, the reality. You know, this is what liberals just refuse to acknowledge. The reality of people that just will not work. The reality of not planning for anything. The reality of smoking cigarettes all day and still sucking down alcoholic beverages when you're broke, busted, and literally on the steps of homelessness next week. I live it. I watch it. It can be a year and a half back, and I'm like, what are we doing? Let's create a plan, a strategy. And most of the time, there's no proactive measures. Now, I haven't been around much because of school and work, and I'm going all the time. But, you know, and I'm looking at jobs now online. Listen, there's jobs everywhere. Everywhere from a minimum wage to a higher earning. You can get a job down here in Lehigh Valley in a warehouse for $25 an hour. Unskilled labor. Homelessness. You know, it, without rambling, I think you guys understand what I'm saying, but we just do what we want to do, which is little as possible as a people. I'm not going to go back into the destruction of the family.
Bobby Lee, for a man to eat and not to work is not just.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that, folks? Yeah, one other thing before I stop talking. The vast amount of people hiding behind bipolar. Everybody is always talking. Everybody has bought into the diagnoses. Bipolar. Every third person is bipolar. Or brain damage, or the kids ADHD. Thereby, we can't function. I'm applying for whatever government assistance that I'm waiting to get, and I have literally watched people walk out into homelessness. And on top of that, the kids, there's nothing ever good enough. Listen, we used to be a strong people because we grew up on the farms. We were expected to contribute. We knew what it was to work in 90-95 degree heat all day long in the barns. Now you drive by anywhere in America, you got barns and silos literally crumbling in on themselves, and the kids, Nothing. I can create a list of 300 things to do, and it's still not good enough because so and so doesn't like it.
Brother, the farms are the backbone of America, but they want to cheapen the farms. That's the problem. The farms should be paid the best. The lawyers should be paid zero. All right,
because but Vince, they cheapened it to run them out of it so that the corporations could buy it. To do justly. There is no justice in the world because there's no justice in the church. The church is not crying for justice.
Say it, bro.
Huh? Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Without justice, brother, there can be no mercy. Until a man declares himself guilty unto the Lord, can he receive the mercy of the Lord?
That's right. Fellas, when you walk into a courtroom, the judge cannot give you mercy until you're found guilty. And again, it doubles back in my mind to what Matt brought to our attention. We are putting the second commandment ahead of the first. We love people more than we love God. Now, oh, man.
Hey, Coach.
Let me check something here real quick. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, we're really not putting the second commandment in the place of the first because the Bible says the two commandments are the same.
That's right. That's true.
If we were obeying the first commandment, there would be zero love left over for the world. All of our love would be going to the true body of Christ when you look at the words that those commandments say. So what happened is when we start splitting off and loving things of the world for no matter what, quote, magnanimous reason, we have stolen that love that was due the Lord and given it away to the devil's domain. That is plain wrong.
Jared, Revelation 19:11. It's just been a great, great, great teaching in the church. And I tried to make the point yesterday. Pastor Bill gave me about 5 minutes in the church yesterday. And I tried to make the point. That the greatest support that we ever get for Past Assault Ministries, Salt and Light Brigade, the greatest support, outpouring of financial support we ever get is in disaster relief. And I think it was Jared that pointed it out about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe now, that people are moved to do justice and mercy to people who've lost everything. They're moved in their heart to do that over stuff. The same people that are fighting in Walmart, in Target, and Best Buy over stuff. We saw when we were down in Texas, we saw that stuff became a burden, Pastor Dale, as you made that so clear. All that stuff that those people ran in Black Friday to buy, when the flood hit, it became a burden. Stuff. We're stuff focused and stuff motivated. And if I try to raise some funds, say, listen, we're going to have a powerful outreach this weekend at the abortion clinic. They won't give $20. I said, I'm going to go down and go to feed somebody who was hit in the hurricane. Boy, the money comes flooding in. Somebody explain that to me. I mean, I'm glad you support us. I'm glad that we get to go do that. But can somebody explain that to me? Why our pocketbooks open for people who've lost their stuff, but our pocketbooks don't open to help rescue little babies being led to slaughter?
Coach? Because actually what we did down in Texas, brother, was mercy ministry. Abortion clinic, that's justice ministry. Nobody wants justice, brother. They just want the mercy.
The Lord wants justice, though. He said to do justly. Yeah. It's the first thing he
said.
That's right.
But do you understand the difference between the two? One is mercy ministries. One is justice ministries, and justice ministries brings forth guiltiness. It says the Holy Spirit comes to what? To convict the world of sin. Let me just share, brother. I have been 4 weeks teaching on the Holy Spirit. We had a visitor yesterday. I received a phone call. This lady says, I've never been in a service like that. I wept
so hard through that service. The Holy Spirit dealt with me because of your teaching on the conviction of sin of the Holy Spirit, brother. Without the justice, you truly never receive the mercy. All you're receiving, like that stuff that happened down in Texas, that's really not even mercy ministry. That's just reprieve ministry.
That's just common decency, Dale. That's just common decency, right? It really is. So listen, tomorrow we're going to do the Holy Spirit. I'm in Revelation 19. Listen, I promise you, tomorrow, I've got it right here. We're going to do the Holy Spirit. I promise you. But I want you to see something here. Revelation 19.
Coach, quit promising, brother, because then you fulfill that you're a liar. Don't do that.
I'm not promising. I'm promising I'm going to try. I'll promise I'm going to try. Verse 11. Are you ready? Here comes Jesus coming back, right? We all believe this is going to happen. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he spreads the love of Jesus to everybody. He doles out the mercy, and he deals out the grace. Is that what it says? No. When he comes back, he's coming back in righteousness, and he's going to do what he told us to do. He's going to judge. He's going to tell. He says, because you guys ain't been doing it, I'm going to come back. It's going to get ugly around here. Because I'm going to, in righteousness, I'm going to judge. And I'm going to make me some war. That's it, boys and girls. Everything that we see that's wrong in America can be laid at the feet of the American church. Every bit of it. And for those who get on me and criticize me because I'm disrespecting the local church and all that rigmarole and all that garbage that they send my way. Brothers, just read the Old Testament, man. Just read it. Just read how far we have fallen from the ordinances of God. God didn't get born again in the New Testament and forget all of this stuff. In fact, we see him end up coming back doing what? Judging and making war. That's what we see him doing.
In other words, don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. He's just giving the message.
We have rejected the weightier matters of the law.
We have.
Justice, mercy. Is that what it says? Boy, do I have time to find that? The weightier matters. Google that real quick, Jared. The weightier matters of the law. Matthew, what is it? What are the weightier matters of the law? Isn't mercy, judgment one of them? Isn't justice
judgment's
one of them?
Judgment's first. Judgment's first, again. Just like justice. It's first.
The weightier matters of the law is justice. Judgment. What? Who are you to judge? Can you see how the devil tricked us? See what the devil's done to us?
Semantics, brother.
See what the devil's got us to do? Who are you to judge? Well, if you judge, it seems to me that if you're judging, you're most representative of the Lord. Matthew 22:23 it is, Jared. I think it was, right? Let's see here. Yeah, there you are. 23, I think. 24, maybe. You fools. Therefore, dwell in the throne of words. 22:23. There you are. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and Annas and Cummins have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Isn't that what he said? What? Walk justly, right? Love mercy, right?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. The Lord Jesus himself is confirming Micah 6. Justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before you, Lord. That's faith. There it is. That's the job of the New Testament church as well. Boys, I had to get that off my chest today. I had to get it. Yeah, Coach, you're a Debbie Downer. Well, yeah, I don't want to be.
That's all right. You can be a Debbie Downer as long as you're a Jesus upper.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to do, brother. I'm trying to lead you to the upper, brother. But isn't that unbelievable? You have omitted the weightier matters of the law.
Wow.
Judgment is the first thing. Mercy. See, mercy always follows judgment. Then who are you to judge, brother? Who are you to judge? Christians, don't judge.
Justice begets
tomorrow. Amen, brother.